All right, Cindy.
Good morning or good afternoon. How are you? I've had a busy day. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you just good.
Okay, good. I wanted to talk to you about my binge eating. Okay. That I have. And actually, it's gotten to bulimia portion of it. And so your program has been great. I've been in the program since April 2020 this year. And I've changed dramatically in that amount of time. But still, the one sticking point is the conditioned behavior of the binge, purge, then restrict cycle that I've been going through. I've decided that I took a vacation 2 days at the end of this week. I'm going to do a planned binge.
Okay.
And I just kind of want to walk through that with you.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Let's do that.
I'm really kind of scared because I'm afraid I'm going to like it. I'm afraid that I'm going to enjoy it and that it's just going to be, hey, let's do another planned binge, you know?
Let's pretend that you do.
Yeah. It doesn't get me closer to my goal.
Yeah, but binging from self-hatred isn't getting you closer to your goal either.
No, it's true. Yeah.
I mean, the worst that's going to happen is you like it.
Right.
But you're already doing it.
Let
me ask you this.
Yeah.
Be really honest with me.
I will.
All right. You don't like your binging, do you?
No, but I feel like, and this is a feeling.
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like I'm addicted to it.
Okay. So, but you don't like it though.
No.
Right.
I don't like it at all.
And I will just say, like, I don't know if I would call it addicted. I don't know if that, like, I just want you to think about when you label it as an addiction.
Right.
How does that make you feel?
Yeah, it makes me feel powerless.
Right. So, you know, some people will argue like, no, we really need to give it a label. And I'm like, and not if it makes me feel powerless.
Right.
I could just say, this is something I do. This is something I'm working on. Even if you were an alcoholic.
Right.
Right. Some people will be like, well, I don't want to call myself an alcoholic. Like, I want to go dry out. I want to not drink anymore. I want to do all these other things, but I'm not an alcoholic. Here's what I am. Someone who doesn't drink anymore.
Right.
So you get to decide how you think about it. And when you decide how you think about all this, I always think this is really important because it's like your brain wants this to be such a problem. This is why I asked you, did you like it? And it's like, no, I don't like it. In
right.
fact, I don't like it so much. I think I'm addicted.
Right.
So let me ask you this. You do a planned binge. You may actually like the eating because your brain will light up with food and stuff. But if you step back for a second, do you think that you'll just be like, oh, I didn't know that binging could be so enjoyable. I am now going to keep this behavior for the rest of my life. The clouds have been lifted.
Oh, no.
Right. That's probably not going to happen. And if it did, you would no longer have a problem.
Right, because I would be like, hey,
I actually like it. You'd just be like, this is what I'm going to do. Like,
right. Like whatever, you know. I like it. Right, yeah. And so the other thing that is concerning me about it is that what happens if, okay, because I've planned the binge for Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got 5-day weekend. Woohoo, go me. And what if the binge then just continues until I go back to work on Tuesday?
What if it does? Tell me what will happen.
I'll feel terrible.
Yeah, you'll feel terrible.
Tired of feeling terrible.
Okay, but why will you feel terrible? Physically, emotionally, both?
Both. Okay. Yeah, I'll be hungover from all the food and feel just nasty and beat myself up, the whole thing.
Okay. So that's what I would make as part of your plan, is to say, my planned binge is this. I might enjoy it. And if I do, I just want to remember this, that it's an experiment. Like, I want you to step back and I really want you to plan it. A plan, like, I want you to think about if we were going to plan to tear up a road.
Right.
We wouldn't plan for perfection.
Right. Well, and I started that this morning. I said, you know, well, I'm going to go to the grocery store in the morning. I'll make my grocery list, the things I want to get. I'm going to do the planned binge at noon. And then right what I'm feeling as I'm getting the food, right while I'm feeling while I'm eating the food, right what I feel when I'm after I'm done, and really visualize how I want to feel when I'm done. That this was how I'm going to learn.
So this is all the ways that I would refine your process so that you really have yourself set up for success. I would make sure that you write why this is important to you.
Okay.
And not from a place of a bunch of negativity.
Oh, yeah, right.
Like, it's important to me because I want to work on my relationship with food. I want to do this so I can quit fucking binging. there's the loathy version, and then there's a version that's, here are all my reasons why that are based in self-love.
I want to be able to trust myself around food.
So part of your plan binge is really the pre-work, which is having a really clear idea of why you're doing it. What the experience, like, I want you to write out, like, this is what I'll be buying. This is what's likely to come up with. So one of my girlfriend that I talk about all the time, she did a plan binge. She did it for a few weeks. And we just kind of like said, hey, just do one, you know? And over the course of 3 weeks, we refined it and we refined it and we refined it. And what we found was the first time she did it, she threw the plan out the window. Like, the second that she started, she didn't really have a true start and end time. She didn't have a plan for how she was going to talk to herself. She didn't think about excuses that would come in. She didn't have all of that the first time, right? So we made a plan for that the next time. It's like, okay, so the second time, what we want to do is want to make sure all of that gets mapped out. Well, then she did one where she was going to go to the store, and she didn't make a plan for it. She didn't realize that she would want to buy extra stuff. And of course, when she got there, she couldn't make the decision because she's so trained to just buy anything. So what I want you to do is I want you to go through your process. Like, when I binge, here's the way I normally behave. Because once you do, like, this is what will happen. This is even for overeaters. This is not just for bingers. Those, like, your brain doesn't know that you're doing an experiment.
Right.
It's watching the behaviors. It's going through the experience that it normally does. And so it just starts going like on autopilot.
Mm-hmm. It's going, hey, let's go. Woo.
Yeah. And that's what it's supposed to do. So I want you to work with your brain by, before you do it, I want you to come up with every possible scenario. I want you to do it like if we were going to rebuild a road, we would come up with weather contingencies. If the emergency vehicles need to come through, we would know how we're routing them. You know, like when they do a plan, they do a plan. Mm-hmm. They look at all the things. So I want you to really, I think the easiest way to do it would be first, write out what a binge already looks like for you. The words I say. When do I tune out? What, like, how does my body feel? Like, what are the things that I think about? Do I go to the store? Am I somebody who will start eating in the car? You know, like anything and everything that could happen. I want you to just write it like it normally happens. And then I want you to recreate that experience with pre-work around, and I'm going to just slow the entire experience down. Like, really what I'm doing is slowing it down. And I'm thinking about what my brain will throw up as an excuse, because it's going to get the food. It's going to get excited. And it's going to want to slip into its normal behaviors. And so I need as much like environmental cues. I need as many things going on as I possibly can to help my conscious brain stay engaged, so my conscious brain can guide my habit brain that's going to want to take over. Your habit brain can't do anything without your conscious brain's consent. And that's why we make such an elaborate plan. And we do all of that. And you need the post plan.
Right.
Like, I'm going to want to keep going. I almost know for sure. Doesn't mean I will, but one of the things that could come up is I've got a 5-day weekend. I need 5 days worth of shit planned that doesn't let me think that I can keep going. So do you have accountability partners or anything?
I have an accountability partner, yeah, and we've already discussed this. And
you need to be reaching out probably 2-3 times a day.
And she
reach out to you.
Really awesome. She knows when I go quiet that what's going on.
That's what happens with Jane.
I know it. And it's like she says,
chatty as me.
Right. And I usually am as chatty as you as well. And so when I go quiet, she's like, I knew something was up. I knew something was up. And one she goes, I was going to call you. But, and I'm like, next time, just call me.
Yeah. Well, and I think you have to make Jane and I have been friends for a long time, and we make agreements about checking in and stuff like that. And very often I've even told her, I've said, I just sometimes don't feel comfortable telling you certain things or whatever. I'm always worried I'm going to trigger you. And that's me as a coach saying that. And she always says, never worry about triggering me.
Right.
Ever. She's like, even if I get triggered, I'd rather be triggered. And you,
she's triggered for her own thoughts, not because of something you did.
Yeah. So we have an emoji that we send when we call it, when we have the umbrella, we mean it's raining shit right now. We're in a shit storm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes just sending an umbrella is way easier than sending a message that says I'm binging.
Right.
Or I need help. Or it's just like, I'm just letting you know I'm in a bad way. And when the umbrella comes out, it's like, sometimes I just respond back and just say, it's okay. When you're ready. Even just little reach outs like that are such a pattern disrupt for a binger. Like, don't get caught up in the idea that the only way to experience success on redefining binging and getting to the place where you don't binge anymore is the binging has to stop.
Right.
Binging doesn't have to stop to no longer be a binger. You can just be somebody who sometimes eats a lot of food and is learning. Is learning to reach out, those kinds of things.
Come a long, long way from what I was when I joined this program. I was binging and purging every day, 3-4 times a day, and it's like, thank you for your program, because I always said I could lose weight, but I can't get my head around it, And if I could just get my head around it, and your program is really helping.
Good.
So I really appreciate it. And I do have on my schedule already that Betsy's on Thursday night. And so I'm going to be on that coaching call too, and talk to her about what happened during my planned binge. And then also be on your call on Sunday, where you're specifically talking about binging, because I want to work on this. I deserve it.
Is that next Sunday?
Yeah, it is.
Why don't you go first next Sunday and you let us all know how it went? And here's the thing, Cindy. It does not need to go perfect. Here's what I want to encourage you. However it goes exactly the way it's supposed to for us to learn.
Right, exactly. Exactly. This is like my first baby step.
Yes.
And the way I get to walking and running is by taking this first baby step, no matter, even if it means I fall, that's fine.
And that's the whole thing with when it comes to binge eating and stuff, is that the hardest brick to fall is the shame one.
Right.
The moment you guys can get to the point to where you're no longer shaming, you get to start being so curious about it. You start to get to really pull it apart. You get to really start understanding it. You don't think it's a huge problem, all this other stuff. There's so much relief that comes from that, that the moment you don't shame yourself and you start loving yourself through the process, you start figuring out ways to not need the binging as much. Right now, and I want all of my bingers to hear this, your binging is there for a reason. It's because something in your emotional life right now is just not ready to deal. That's it. It's your brain's way of trying to figure out a way to protect you, to make things better, to get out of something, whatever it is. Your brain is not broken. You are not broken, and you aren't a bad person because of it. We're just working on re-teaching your brain that you're figuring this out with your conscious brain now, and the habit brain can relax a little bit.
Right.
We just got to figure out what it is that the habit brain's so afraid of.
Well, you know, I think it started for one reason, but continues for something totally different.
And it usually does.
Right. I mean, because I think it started because it was a defense mechanism, and now it's just like a conditioned behavior. It's like a response to stimuli. You know, it's like, I don't think there's a deep anymore. There's a deep, dark issue. I've been through a lot of counseling and I've dealt with a lot of that deep, dark stuff.
So if it's feeling threatened, this is a good question for you to think about. Where now do you think, because this is what's funny about the habit brain. It gives equal value to like someone holding a gun in your face as being threatened as somebody like Sapphire in the first call giving you the look.
Right.
Like your brain feels equally as threatened. It's so crazy. It's just like, we need to protect ourselves. So thinking about it from that place, and this is so good because you've been through all this therapy, it's like, where is my brain possibly feeling like in danger or threatened? It could be something as simple as the way that I talk to myself. If that's anything reminiscent to anything that happened in the past, if it brings up any of the similar feelings, my brain's going to get triggered every single time. It's not, the brain does a shitty job of knowing what's real and what's perceived.
Right, right.
And that's a big thing to work on.
That's why I'm going to visualize what I want to feel like after the binge, before I do it.
Yeah.
Because my brain doesn't know the difference. No. Doesn't know whether it's happening or whether it's not. And so I'm going to visualize what I want to feel like, you know, like feel open and encouraged and insightful. And I've learned so much and just that much closer to being there now.
And also do this, like, think about it too. Like, so I love this part, which not enough of us are doing for sure. I also want you to add to it, but I'm likely to experience these emotions too. Sure. That is the way that my brain likes to think about this. So
tell the whole story.
Very normal for my brain to freak out and think this is a problem. I didn't learn enough. It didn't go the way that, like when Jane did it, it was like, it didn't go the way that I planned. I did it wrong. Like she like literally said, and I did it wrong. And she was so hard on herself for doing it wrong. And I said, I don't think there's a right way to do this. Did I miss the memo?
Yeah, I don't think anybody ever taught us this. So, yeah, I don't think there's a right or wrong way.
I was like, what if you and I are just making this shit up to figure out what we can figure out about your binging? Like, oh.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, all of that. That is where the number one feeling for all of us, like my last person who, you know, she just one glass of wine. You can see how much just heaviness was on her because it's like she's got this one glass of wine. She's got these off-plan overeats. And in her mind, she is in danger. 110 pounds are coming back.
Right.
It's just a matter of time. I haven't figured, like, the panic is real. It's probably in her body experiencing at the same level as you with a binge.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Because that's the way our brains are just so inaccurate that way.
Right.
And so it's just, it's always good for you to like always think, and my brain's going to freak out too, even if I'm doing this from the best place. Like no matter what, our brains like to freak out. That's just the way they're designed. And so when you anticipate that coming, you don't have to fight it and you don't have to feel like something's gone wrong or you don't get swept away in it.
Right. Right.
You get on next Sunday's call. Email support. Judith, you're on here. Never mind. You don't even have to email support. Judith,
okay.
Get on my, I didn't even do the call announcements this week. Get it on next week. So I just forgot because I did it yesterday. That she's going to go first. So if I see your hand raised, I will call on you first next week so we can get an update.
My hand will be raised. I promise you. I will be there with you.
Good. Well, and I just want you to know.
We're going to do this.
Like, I highly expect you to be there, but I also want you to know just for your own emotional safety that if for some reason you don't feel like being there or whatever, you will not be judged and no one's going to think any less of you.
Right.
It will all happen the way it's supposed to. Okay.
Yeah. Shout out to the Booty Buster. She's not going to let me renege on this now.
Booty Buster. That's awesome.
Booty Busters. All righty. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you to start your video.
There we go. Start my video.
There you are. I hear you.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine, Betsy. How are you?
Good. Good. What's going on?
Last week I had decided that instead of closing my eyes and pretending like I wasn't binging and purging, that I was going to do a planned binge.
Yes.
I spoke with Corinne on Sunday. We did coaching when she did coaching on Sunday.
Yes.
And I planned the planned binge for today and I did it.
Okay. Tell me all about it.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk to you about it. And so maybe that we can, see what you think.
Okay.
The first thing that really struck me was when I woke up in the morning, my first thought was, oh, I get to eat today.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, that's a weird thought. I get to eat every day.
Yeah, you know? That's true, isn't it?
Right. And so my brain automatically thought, ooh, you know, I get to eat today. And I'm like, and so I'm wondering if that has something to do with the way I had trained my brain with the binge, purge, and restrict cycle, that thought it had been restricted too much, so when it gets some time to binge, it just loves it.
Yes, exactly. It's like, oh my gosh, this happened to me today with watching my mind. Was I grabbed? So I've been babysitting my nieces today, which I do every Thursday. So that's why I'm in a different setting. And they had some chips on their plate at lunch, and I grabbed a couple of chips. And you know, they weren't on my plan for today, obviously. And my brain went to, oh, well, we're off plan. Let's just, you know, let's just have a party, right? Let's just continue. And because your brain wants to kind of stay in the same, you know, in the same patterns, right? It's like, if we're off plan, if we're, you know, overeating, let's just keep overeating.
Right.
So let's just keep doing what we're doing. We need to be consistent. You know, that's what your brain thinks. You know, it's not true, right? I can eat one chip and then just be like, okay, no, I'm right back on plan.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, totally normal where, I think binging, you know, with the larger amounts of food, that's what the thinking is a lot of the time, right? It is, well, we're off plan, F it.
Might as well,
you know, all this stuff, right? And so I'm fully aware of that, you know, that thought that I have as well. So yeah, that's totally what that is.
Right. So then I planned it. I was made my grocery list, and I planned, I was leaving the house at 11 o'clock, going to the grocery store, swinging back around McDonald's, then Cummings going to do the planned binge. And the whole time I'm writing down my thoughts as I'm doing it. I'm totally aware of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
My thoughts are, I can't believe that I'm really going to do this. That, do I really want to do this? Is this something that I really want to do? Is this really going to help me? All of these thoughts are rushing through my head before I even So I get home here. I eat the McDonald's and I notice I'm at my plus two. So I'm wide aware of where I'm at. You know, I know exactly where I'm to, and I'm like, you know what? I bought all this crap, and that's exactly what I said in my head. I bought all this crap. I'm going to eat and see what I think, right? So then I just started eating the other stuff I had. I don't know, Ho-Hos, Doritos, licorice, and I start eating the other stuff, and it's like, I'm really full. It's not as exciting. Mm-hmm. I just get to the point where it's like, you know, I'm just done.
Mm.
I'm just done. And so I quit at that point, and I was just done. And now what I noticed, the difference between the unplanned binge and planned binge was the amount of stress that it creates afterwards. And when I was done today, there was stress. I was just done. Okay, I'm done. Mm. You know, I was just done.
Because you had planned it, right? I mean, you had done what you planned, and it just wasn't a huge deal. It was like, okay, I did an experiment. Let me see what I can learn and move forward.
Right.
As opposed to the unplanned.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, where I eat behind my back.
You eat behind your own back, and then, you know, and then you jump right on the shame train, you know, after you're done.
Right. And there was no reason to feel shame this time because I planned it. There's no, I don't know how all of this information though now. Okay. Another one of, let's for a second though, is that with when I do a binge, that how it would normally happen is when I got to that point where I was at today and I was just done, I may have thrown up and started eating more, or I might have just went away and came back and ate more. It wouldn't have just stopped at that point.
You want to ask why, right? You want to really fit you, and you really want to look at what is the difference. And you've already talked
about.
I
know what the difference is.
Okay, what is it?
The difference is that I already decided that this week it doesn't matter if I gain weight or not.
Mm.
And so that's my whole thing is that this binging and purging is going to ruin my weight loss.
Mm.
You know, and it's like that's why this time that didn't seem as threatening because I don't care if I gain weight or not this time because I'm learning the emotional side of losing weight.
Right. And I mean, so, I don't know if Corinne, I'm assuming maybe you and Corinne talked about this on Sunday. I hadn't listened to the call. We actually talked about the call as a group of coaches yesterday about that. We really need to listen to that because it was such a good call that you all had. And, but you know, it's like you can work on your binging or you can work on weight loss.
Right.
Right. It's two separate things. And you're realizing that if you separate the weight loss out and really focus on why you're doing this, you know, how you want to work on it, then it's like you come at it so much more clearly because you don't have that fear of weight gain, you know, attached to it.
Right. And that's where the purging and the restricting came in, because
and it's part of that. I mean, it's coming from the shame, right? You have so much shame about what you've done that, you know, I've got to get it out, right? I've got to get it out of my body. And then, but then you maybe have shame about that, doing that. And so then you eat again, right? It's a cycle that repeats itself over and over again.
And so, that's why this was very different because it felt just so much different. Like I wasn't sneaking and I wasn't hiding and I wasn't, you know, it was all right out in the open. It was on the table. It was, my conscious brain was fully engaged.
That is the entire point of the exercise is to move the eating from the unconscious part of your brain to the totally conscious part of your brain. And it is just such a different experience and such a different, I don't know about you, but I know when I've done it before, because I've done it several times, it's just such a, like a form of self-care, right? It's like a compassionate experience. You're really able to see, just really understand why you do this, because you really are consciously thinking about it. You're not trying to check out. You're really just fully conscious the whole time.
Right. It was self-care. It wasn't self-deprecating.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It wasn't self-loathing, right? It wasn't self-hating. It was, I am doing this to help myself. I'm doing this to work on this, to figure this out, whatever you want to, you know, call it. But such a powerful experience.
And so then I guess then my thing is where does this take me from here now?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, where do I go from here now?
I mean, it's, you know, getting all the learning that you can from the experience that you had today. But then I think it goes, I mean, this doesn't mean that, you know, all of a sudden, you'll never You'll never binge, right, or you never binge and purge again, right? But what, right, you've recognized is that, okay, I have some options here. I have the option to, you know, to stop eating whenever I want to, right? You experienced that where you,
right,
got to a, you know,
right, even, a place I was just
in, even in the next experience, if I just am conscious for 10% of the time, you know, what would the experience be like, right? We're talking about gradual incremental change. And so let's say you have an urge to, you know, to binge and you say, okay, I'm going to, you know, but I'm going to work on being conscious as much as I can, you know, and not drop into the unconscious. But so I'm just going to get really curious about, you know, where my brain goes, right? Maybe keep a blank notebook and stuff next to you to write down your thoughts. And then,
yeah, I've got lots of thoughts.
Yes. Yes. And so it's almost like now that you've done this, you're just a different person now. And again, I'm not saying that you won't ever binge and purge, right, again,
yeah,
but it will be a different experience. And so you will want to know what you're thinking more. You will want to be more conscious, more. Right. You will want to be listening for your, you know, your body signals and your hunger and, you know, satisfaction signals. But I was going to say something, well, so let's say, you still eat everything that you would have eaten, but then, right, you, at the end you think, okay, now I have the option to either feel shame about this, or I have the option to feel curious about this, to feel compassion and love for myself. And so maybe that's what changes, you know, the next time, is that you just don't continue the shame cycle.
Right.
And, you know, maybe that's what's different. But all of that to say, it's just a matter of just being really curious here, you know, continuing to be, and, you know some tools now that you can use to really just learn as much as you can and just really learn more about why you're doing it.
Right. Well, you know, and that's where I come back to the thought that I had first thing this morning was, oh, I get to eat now.
You get to eat now.
And it's like, I always get to eat.
I love what you said. Like, I always get to. So isn't it interesting, yeah, that my brain, but you also, I want you to listen back to this call, because you, mm-hmm, also listed some thoughts you were having that were questions.
Right.
And I want you to answer, like, you know, journal and answer every single one of those questions. Why, mm-hmm, you know, why do I do this, or whatever it was? Right. I want you to really dig into that, because when your brain throws up questions, you want to answer them every single, right, time, because that's, mm-hmm, where some major learning can happen. But yeah, I love, right, that. It's like, I get to eat today. Well, I always get to eat, and you always get to eat whatever you want.
Right. And I haven't been, and that's what I love about this program. I've been 24 differently than my husband. We eat the same foods. I just eat when I'm hungry and stop when I'm satisfied. I eat what I want. It's not diet.
Yes.
And so it's like for my brain to automatically go. So I'm wondering if I need to start telling my brain, my habit brain,
yes,
I get to eat, I mean, literally right out loud, I get to eat what I want.
Yes, absolutely. That sounds like a great habit to get, yeah, into, because even when you think something, your habit brain hears it. But when you say it out loud, or when you write, right, it, it's even more impactful on your habit brain. And so when you hear something, say, yes, absolutely, say it out loud, and, or, you know, and write it down on sticky notes all over the place. I get to eat whatever I want when, you know, whenever I want.
Do you have a time for a quick model?
Sure. Sure. I don't have a board, but
that's all right. We can, yeah, talk through,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I got stuck this morning on the model because I was journaling first thing this morning, like I always do. And it was about binging, and it was about the thought that I get to eat what I want. And it made me feel permissive.
Mm.
But then I stopped that thought and I moved to the intentional model, because I didn't like that feeling. But that's where I got stuck. Because I can eat today. There's nothing wrong with thinking I can eat today.
No.
So how do I change my thought when there's really nothing wrong with the thought that I'm having?
There's nothing wrong. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with any thought that you have, right?
Right?
But there's nothing.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, and permissive doesn't have to, I mean, can be the feeling if you want. I mean, because you can give yourself permission to eat whatever you want. whenever you want. But you also may want to think, you know, just how do you want to feel? Like, what kind of relationship do you want with food? What feelings come up for you when you think about the relationship that you want with food?
Right. What feelings do I want to have? Mm-hmm. That's a good journal prompt right
yes.
there.
Yes.
I think that's what it will be tomorrow morning. I'll spend some time on what do I want to feel when I think about food.
And actually, I've been doing some journaling lately about the relationship I want with food and the relationship mm-hmm. I want with my body.
Right.
And it's great to start with just naming some feelings. And with food, it is peace. It is freedom.
Trust.
Absolutely. And trust with my body as well.
Right.
So, yeah, just start with those feelings and really see what you can uncover.
And then work the model from the feeling.
Work them all from the feeling
right.
and see what, I mean, it may be that I can eat, you know, I can eat whatever I want today. That may be one of the feelings, but, one of the thoughts, but you may uncover some other thoughts as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, I thank you. Thank you for it. You got anything, any parting words of wisdom?
I'm just so proud of you for doing exercise because I've got some of my private clients I talk to them about doing a plan binge and they're like, no, like, I don't know, you know, but we're working together to do it. And you are, you know, I actually already directed one of your last call to one of them. And mm-hmm. so you're just an amazing example of really working the program, right? Like, you know, just really doing this work, even if it was maybe a little scary.
That's my buster. They are super. She says that for Cindy.
Okay.
Super. She's my Cindy. Accountability partner.
Oh, love it. Love it. Well, I'm just so proud of you. I'm just so proud of you for doing the work and just seeing what you can learn and really, and you've proven, right, that you really can learn a lot through this exercise.
Right. So. And I journal after I was done, like I said, I was going to, mm-hmm. I journaled through the whole thing and I journaled when I was done. And that was my last words in my journal is that I was so proud of myself for doing this.
Yes.
It was scary.
Yeah.
It was super scary. That's what I told Corinne. I was super scared about this.
Yes. And so many people are, and you are blazing the trail for so many others who, you know, you're here to tell the tale, right? You survived.
I survived.
you learned a lot in the process.
I did. And it wasn't like what I thought it was going to be at all.
Well, and that's what can be so scary for a lot of us, right? Is this unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what we're going to do. We don't know what we're going to think or feel or learn.
And then we let our mind make it up.
Right. it's like we fail ahead of time, right? We just keep
just
doing what we've always done. And so if we're willing to step out there, and as no BS women, that's one thing, right? We're willing to, we've got to be willing to step out there into, you know, kind of stepping off the cliff, not knowing what's going to happen, but taking a risk because, you know, you only get a big reward with.
Well, you know, when you step off the cliff, though, it's a lot easier to step off the cliff when you've got a support system down there to catch you.
I was just about to say, I just had chills. Yes, I just have chills thinking, like, you've got all your sisters, you know.
Yep, my accountability group.
You know, ready to catch
Corinne, all you guys.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes it. And so, you know, I'm hoping that this is going to be at least a starting on my journey to my new Zen self.
I love it.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Betsy.
Zen is another feeling. So put Zen in the model. Right. See what you come up with.
I like that. Feel Zen. What do I need to think of Zen? I
love
like
it.
That.
All right.
All righty. Thanks a lot, Betsy.
Yeah. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right. Love, love, love the plan binge and also the Fuck It Foods worksheet, which is my all-time favorite name for a worksheet ever. The Fuck It Foods worksheet is basically kind of, a shorter, kind of smaller version of the plan binge worksheet. And so it's, you know, the plan binge worksheet usually involves, you know, larger amounts of food. And then the Fuck It Foods worksheet is usually you focus on one specific food that you think that you can't, you know, you think you can't control yourself around and things like that. So both of those are in the, on the worksheet page, and I'll post them here. So I want to see if there's any. This work right here, this work that Cindy's doing is game changing. So I just wanted to see if there was any questions or anything on that. Just so I could make sure. Let's see. Okay. All right. So I think that's all. If y'all have any other questions about the plan binge, just put them in the Q&A. Let me make sure. But yeah, really the kind of the other big point that we talked about was if you are binging and purging, it's really like that's something that you've really got to separate out from weight loss. Because if you're still focused on losing weight, it's like you either got to work on weight loss or you got to work on your binging. Because if you're attaching the binging to the weight loss, then you're always going to be living in fear of like, if you do a planned binge, just like Cindy said, you're going to be living in so much fear of doing it because you think you're going to gain weight. And so if you really just decide to dedicate yourself to work on your binging, then, and separate out the weight loss just for a little while, right? We're not talking about years. We're just talking about for a little while to really focus on why I'm doing this, what I can learn, how I can move forward. Then that is what will really make the difference. So,
Cindy? I don't know why I take my glasses off. Y'all. If I binge, how can I have a normal relationship with food? Anonymous, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write, what is a normal relationship with food? Make that out, all of you. I want you to write, what is a normal relationship with food? Then what I want you to do is say, and then sometimes I binge. That's all that's happening. Sometimes I binge. I'm working through it. They're not mutually exclusive. Okay, Sandy.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. I did do the planned binge like we had discussed.
Oh, you're my girl.
Yeah.
I didn't expect you today. For some reason, they told me that you got coached on Thursday and that you were, I'm glad I called on you. For some reason, they said you weren't going to be here today for some reason. So
anyway. Oh, I never said I wasn't going to be here.
I think it just got all mixed up in the communication. But this is awesome. Right. Good. Yeah. I would have felt like shit had I not called on you.
I would have felt like shit if you wouldn't have called on me. So yeah. I've been like, who the heck is that Corinne think she is?
Exactly.
Right? Okay, so I did the planned binge, and the whole thing from the time I started to the time I ended took about 35 minutes.
Okay. How long does a normal binge take?
Oh my. All day.
Oh, so this is a big difference.
This is a big difference. I'm the type of binger who will eat until I get to where I was when I stopped my planned binge, and I would throw up. And then I would start again.
Okay.
And I made a deal with myself right up front that when I stopped, that was it. I was done.
Okay.
So it was very different. I felt quite weird. The one thing that I did notice was when I woke up in the morning, the first thing I said to myself was, wow, I get to eat today.
Oh my gosh, that is exactly what my friend Jane thought too.
I'm like, wait a minute, I get to eat every day. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You know?
It's so interesting to notice though that your brain was like, oh boy.
Yeah. Well, so then I think that's one of those thoughts that stem back from. I know you and I had discussed some of my eating issues that I had in the past, and I think from my anorexia days, mm-hmm. my brain went to, ooh, I get to eat. And so I think it's still, whenever I get hungry, it's scared, I'm starving.
Yeah.
So I've decided that every day I write in my journal that I'm going to eat and include the foods that I love, and I'm going to eat when I'm hungry, and I'm going to stop when I'm satisfied. Mm-hmm. I just to tell my brain that I'm not going to starve myself anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's so good because your brain basically was like, we could just like call it like as if it was traumatized, right? Yeah. Brains don't like to be starved, and the body just doesn't, and it goes ham if it thinks it is, right? So it's such a good practice to every day remind your brain, like, I am really going to take care of myself today with food.
Right.
Like, that's what I do now.
Yeah. And I was very aware, and I journaled from before I left for the grocery store. While I was driving home, text journaling. I get home before I start, I'm journaling. I journaled through the whole thing, and was very aware. My conscience brain was right there with me through the whole thing. And it was almost like it wasn't fun anymore.
Why do you think that is?
Because I think I knew what I was doing to myself, and I really didn't want to be doing it.
Yeah. Literally because that conscious brain is in there.
Right.
The conscious part of your brain is the part of your brain that does all the reasoning. So the habit brain doesn't have that ability. And it doesn't have that ability for one really good reason. The last conversation you ever want your habit brain having is, I'm so tired today. I just don't know if I can like pump lungs and do this whole heartbeat thing for you.
Right.
Like, I need a nap. Like, y'all, if the habit brain could reason, we'd just die. That's why that is separated, because the habit brain doesn't just, the habit brain's job is so important. It keeps the body running, and it keeps the body running on autopilot as possible, including our thoughts, including our habits, including our behaviors, and our physical internal organ behaviors. Everything it tries to habitualize and keep running smooth. So you really want for your conscious brain to be the thing that's engaged in the most important decisions you're going to be making, and figuring out a way to make sure the conscious brain has a voice is everything. That's why I think the plan binge for you was experienced different, because the part of your brain that actually holds goals and dreams, rational thinking, processing of things, it's paying attention. Whereas normally you shut that part off so that you can just kind of slide into, let's just do the habit. Let's just, let's let it run the way it always runs.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
That is exactly what happened. And I did feel grossly overfull mm-hmm. by the time I was done. But like I said, I had made a deal with myself that no matter how it turned out, I wasn't going to throw up. And I did that by, right now I'm not working on physical weight loss on the scale. I'm working on mental weight loss. Yeah. This is part of how I'm going to get there. Until I get this under control, my weight loss is not going to be permanent.
Yeah.
So that was, and then my binge didn't continue. I debated on what to do with the food. I thought about throwing it out. I ended up keeping it. I wish I would have thrown it out now, because last night I had another binge.
Okay. So lesson learned. Right. When you do a planned binge, just you can decide, do you want to throw it away, or you can continue to keep it and plan the next one.
Well, and that was kind of my thought, and then I just didn't do it. And now the binge yesterday also, though, let's talk about the binge yesterday and how different it was.
Okay.
Okay, because it's not the same as mm-hmm. what it was before. I had an urge to binge all day long yesterday, all day long. If I hadn't done this planned binge on Thursday, I probably would have ate all day long yesterday.
Okay.
But I didn't. I used my words. I talked to myself. I recognized the feelings. I took a walk. I did the things I needed to do. I have chronic fatigue and I was just exhausted yesterday. Okay. But I just kept telling myself, you know, that's not a reason to eat. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff and all of the wonderful things that I told myself. But by the time evening came around, my emotional energy was spent. And mm-hmm. and I just couldn't tell myself one more time, no. And so I just ate. Not as much as I normally would have.
Do you think all of the conversations, if your emotional energy was spent, do you think that with, you know, your urges coming back all day long, do you think that your thinking was giving you peace or giving you like allowance? Or do you think it was a little bit of kind of depleting?
It was anxious.
Okay. That I think is what you work on next. Is figuring out the conversations that you have when you're having those urges. What are really think about this. This would be good work for you to do today since it happened yesterday. Try to remember as many of the thoughts and things you said to yourself as the urges came. Think about
I wrote them down.
Okay. What were some of them? Give me a couple of them.
Let me flip to that page.
I would like for everybody to notice she has data.
I just want my brain to shut up.
Okay, so how does that feel?
Terrible.
That's a depleting one. No wonder you were spent.
Yep. It's okay to be tired and go to bed when my mental energy is spent. Old habits are easier to give into when I'm tired.
How was that one?
It was okay, but it didn't feel amazing.
It's not, I don't think they're all going to feel amazing. I mean, I don't think we're going for amazing, but what we're going for is not punitive, argumentative, right. Shameful, demeaning.
Right.
Like, what is it that you said? I just want my brain to shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want you to think about that. That's not what you want.
No, I know. But in the moment that was the unconscious thought.
Yeah, and I want you to be prepared,
right,
to have something peaceful on the back end. Like, mm-hmm. I just want my brain to shut up is something I'm thinking right now.
Right.
I just want my brain to shut up is one of the urge things that I think. What I really want to do is listen to my brain. I'm glad I'm listening. Like, even just saying something like, you know what? I know my brain is saying all the things. I'm just glad I'm listening now. I used to not even listen. Like,
that's true. Right.
Adding little things like that. It's like, I want you to think about if you had like an emotions thermometer or something going on. Your job is to watch when the temperature's rising. And then I want you to throw an ice bath on it and lower it back down so that when you get into the evening, but like you're not going in with just the temperature's high.
Right.
You know?
And that's what I was trying to do. A couple of the other thoughts that I had was it's okay to just want it right now, but today I'm choosing not to have it. Yeah. It's not on my plan and I'm not hungry, so I'm not going to eat it. I can sit with this urge. It will go away give it.
Let me ask you this. You had a lot of really good thoughts, but how many times did you think yesterday, I'm doing so good?
I didn't.
Let me ask you this. What if, like, every time that you had one of those amazeball thoughts, if you had have just been spending some time also thinking, you're doing really good. Look how much work I'm doing.
That's good.
I think that that's
it would have felt a lot better.
Yeah. And I also think that it's like, I'm really working on this concept. It's going to be in the self-love camp weekend. I'll be talking about it plenty to all the members because I'm fascinated by it. When you have that negative bias, what ends up happening, the negative bias is where you've experienced some kind of a trauma. So for our binge eaters, the trauma is our binging. Right? It's like, oh, we've shamed ourselves all these years and, you know, we've created this big story. So in essence, we've become a victim to it. And we re-traumatize ourselves every single time we hammer on our self-esteem and self-worth because we binge. It's not the binging that is the trauma. It's the way that we show up for ourselves after creates the trauma, the traumatic event. Like, right. So then we just have this post-traumatic stress all the time. And so when you have this negative bias, what happens is you're doing the work. You're going through a day, you're talking to your urges, and you're doing stuff. But because your brain is in negative bias land, it does not do anything but notice, like, my brain just won't be quiet. It's like it's finding the problems with today. It's like, I'm saying the right things, but man, I just wish my brain would shut up. This is just like that to me has a signal that something's not right. I shouldn't be having all these urges. Like, right. We shouldn't be doing this, but we are. So what happens is that we get stuck in these negative bias loops. And what that does is it cheats us out of noticing when we are doing it right. It cheats us out of the moments when we can sit and see what's happening here that's different. What is like in this, like, I'm saying no to urges. Oh my God. I did a planned binge and like I'm really working on this. Look at me. Like, you miss out on like the delight in yourself on seeing what's sitting right there. But it's only because our brain is trained for this. So this means that you do exactly what you did and you go back and you're like, you take these notes. You've done so good. If I could get every binge eater to do like you right now, I really believe that I would be Oprah. Like, I would just have the program of programs for people.
Well, Corinne, just understand that this is some of the hardest work I've ever done in my life. Yes. Because it would be way easier to just... It wouldn't be easier. No, never mind.
It would be easier to just check out and keep saying that binge eating is a problem. And it's really, right. It's my problem. Like, it's the easiest thing to do is to sit back and say, I'm a binge eater and I can't stop. Right. That's always the easiest thing.
Right.
Because it just falls into being like a victim of it. The hardest thing to do, so like, we're going to work on it. Just going to work on it. I mean, like, taking my first step. Like, the first step is always going to be the hardest one, too. It's not going to be step 25. Step one is the hardest because step one requires courage. Step one.
And I did that, right?
Yeah, you're past it.
Okay, good.
Good. No, you're in the baby steps, though. You're like in the first five, which the first five, there's a lot of hard in there because you're really having to overcome the version of, it's like you do a couple of things. I don't know who Lori is, but Lori's getting on. The first few steps are always hard because you're still overcoming your doubts. You're still overcoming like all of your thinking. After you do this for a little bit, that part kind of goes away. And what ends up happening is it gets easier because you're now in the stages of being so willing. You're more interested in doing it. You're just like, you know what? Getting started wasn't as bad as I thought, so I could keep going. Most of the time, the reason why taking the first steps is so hard is because we're afraid of what will happen in the first steps. The worst thing that's happened is you did your planned binge, and then yesterday, you ate again.
Right.
That's all we got.
That's all that happened.
But if you were to ask yourself before you, like the version of everybody should watch her video where she, before she did the planned binge, I think you cried. I'm not 100% sure, but you were so afraid to like it.
Right.
Your brain was freaked out about doing
it. Freaked right out.
Yeah. And now you're just doing it. So
right.
I wanted to say though,
right.
The thing that I want you to remember.
Right, he was going to give me some homework.
Yeah, what we've learned from the urges yesterday and the binge of yesterday is a couple things. you've learned the conversation that you have that leads up to it. So you've been able to see, like, here are the urge thoughts that I have. Here are the ones that I want to tweak and finesse because they kind of feel terrible or they feel very resistant and all this other stuff. Here are the ones, and I'm going to write those down every day. Cindy, write them down every day in your planner. Like, however you want to think is how you will write every single day.
Right.
These are the ones that are kind of working for me. Here are the ones I need to add. Here's the part where I need to, like, my brain, I notice, needs more work on identifying what's right in my life, identifying that I'm willing to work on this, identifying I'm someone who decided to do something really hard and did it anyway. Like, allowing yourself to have, like, to grasp onto that and have that pride. I think for binge eaters in particular, you need that more than anything because you're not used to doing that.
I think that would have helped because I felt anxious all day because I felt like I was kept answering the binge, answering the urge. And if I would have just told myself, look, you know, I've done really good work here. Mm-hmm. And we knew that we knew my binging wasn't just going to go away because I did a planned binge.
Right.
We knew that. So we knew this was coming. And now we're just going to use the tools like we've practiced and practiced mm-hmm. and practiced. Yes.
So I want you to pull that one apart and I want you to do all that stuff I just told you. And then I want you to figure out when you're going to plan another one.
Okay.
I would prefer you to plan some and do them deliberately. And then each one of them, I want you to either eat all the food or at least just give yourself the grace of saying, you know what? At any time, if I want to stop because I'm not enjoying it or whatever, I get to do that. But I only want you to stop if it's not going to feel like you should stop. We're not going to practice old restrictive thinking patterns.
Right.
I want you practice eating it so slowly and so deliberately that you're just like, I'm going to let my conscious brain decide this. And I will only stop eating when it feels like love.
Right. And I knew when I was at my plus two. When I was doing the planned binge, mm-hmm. yeah, the lid off is better. But I knew, I'm like, oh, there's my plus two. Okay, so I've practiced this stuff. I know where I'm at. And it's like, and at that point, because it was so conscious, I had to tell myself, no, we're going to continue. And we're going to see what this is like.
Yeah. And I think from now on, you just tell yourself, when it feels like love, we stop. And then we just move straight into learning and processing and enjoying the part where we get to figure things out. I need to do that for a little bit. I think we'll have another, I tell you what, we'll have for sure, guys, there's so many of you on this call. It's crazy. We'll have another binge call in October. Vern, make sure you note to Kathy, we want to have another one of these in October so we get it on our calendar. I also, Vern, tell the team, I want her call from last Sunday, her Betsy coaching call, and this call all pulled together into one resource, one video. But tell the team I want to talk about it this week. We're going to pull these together so we can watch this as it goes. You're doing good.
And I want everybody to know that as scared as I was, I am now so proud and happy that I did it. And I learned so much from it that being scared was just something my habit brain was doing. My habit brain freaked out because it was something different.
Yeah.
But it's not the end of the world and you learn a whole lot.
Oh, yeah. Our habit brain, all they want to do is protect us. They do not mean us harm. They just don't know anything else. So this is good. Thank you, Cindy.
Good deal. Thanks, Karen. You look great today.
Thank you. I didn't wash my hair today. I was just like,
it looks amazing. You always look amazing.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye.